Hello and welcome to the Inverted Castle, a Metroidvania podcast. I'm Thomas Blight, and I've been secretly training Eric Fox to be the ultimate warrior.
I mean, mostly it's just changed my DNA, but, you know, here's hoping.
Yeah, there's a lot of DNA going on in there, and I have some questions.
When you describe it as a lot of DNA going on in there, I think you're misrepresenting it a little bit, but...
Well, more than two peoples and more than two species.
That's right, we're talking about Metroid Dread.
That's true, I should actually introduce the subject.
So yeah.
Yeah, we're off to a good start already. Metroid Dread.
Yeah, like released this month, almost.
Yeah, we're almost current, except we're totally just going to put this podcast way into our buffer.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see you in 2022, I guess. But for us, it is now, it is current, and it is happening. I liked it a lot, myself.
I liked it a lot, too. There are some parts of it that I feel like are going to be controversial. Not in the, like, controversial as in politics.
It's not a particularly political game, I will say.
Metroid's bad, I think, is the political statement it's
Metroids
making.
Are bad. Ex-parasites are bad. Genetic mutilation. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is the fifth game in the 2D Metroid series, which are all storyline linked, I guess. Which is actually usually just involves Samus doing a genocide and then dealing with the fallout of that genocide and then doing another one.
Yeah, I feel like Samus has one solution to problems, and it's blow stuff up, and that includes entire planets.
It happens surprisingly often. Not that you like see most of that in the opening lore dump of this game, which... just like really kind of shows how little story actually happens in the prior four games of I met the Metroids. I killed the Metroids, except for one Metroid. He was a baby. Then that Metroid died. And then I found ex-parasites and killed the ex-parasites.
Yeah.
Also, I'm part bird.
And also part Metroid now.
And also part Metroid. Spoiler alert for the opening of Metroid Fusion. But yeah, Samus got that good Metroid juice in her DNA and now is dealing with that more so than she ever did in Fusion.
Yeah, I feel like Fusion wasn't actually that interested in the implications. They're just like, you can absorb things now.
Yeah. You should be more worried about these jelly blobs, these rejects from the movie Flubber.
Yeah, speaking of which, the return of the jelly blobs, and by that we mean the ex-parasites.
Of course, the ex-parasites. They're in this game too, although it's kind of like a midpoint reveal almost.
I mean, it's also in the opening crawl.
It's implied that, oh yeah, they're here, but this could be doctored footage. Turns out it wasn't.
I like how the idea of just, like, this having been a recording from before you eliminated the ex-parasites just isn't an option.
It said live in the corner. You can't just fake that.
Yeah, I mean, I assume maybe there's, like, some digital fingerprinting that goes on that allows them to say, yeah, this definitely wasn't recorded on a planet that doesn't exist anymore.
That would make that opening cutscene way too long. Listen, all we need is any excuse to send robots and then Samus to an otherwise unrelated planet.
Yeah. ZDR? ZDR?
It depends on whether you speak English or American, I guess.
Whoa. Shots are being fired here.
I don't actually care. That's but fair. In the voice acting themselves, they say ZDR. So, regardless. Yes. Yeah, the story of this game is the ex-parasites are back, maybe? Kill them. Also, there are robots that are helping you.
Yes.
And then they immediately get hacked and are instead unkillable death bots.
Yeah. Samus goes down to the planet, which conveniently, radio does not work and you cannot communicate back to your ship except for using the planet's own infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You then proceed to get beaten up by a Chozo warrior? Yes, it's a Chozo warrior.
It is a bird man in full armor. You get beaten up and then you black out and then you wake up in a different suit. I like the suit in this game. I think it looks pretty cool. I like the big boots. I think they look pretty snazzy, but otherwise it's Samus's suit. You get other ones that just change the color scheme, but...
Yeah, I didn't really understand why her suit changed from Fusion, but why not?
Well, I mean, at the end of Fusion, you get your original suit back. They just need to do this every time now. It's tradition.
Yeah. Look, the bag of spilling must be done.
Every morning, Samus wakes up and just gets like, where did I put... Oh, man.
Oh, man, my Morph Ball! Where is it?
Why are the super missiles in the coffee machine?
I mean,
what DNA did I get last night?
That would actually be an interesting way to start one of these. You went on a really bad bender, and now you can't find your...
Listen, they already have that game. It's called Disco Elysium.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but anyway... Yeah, and so this one, instead of starting on the surface and going down, you instead black out and wake up in this like the very bottom and work your way up. And it's apparently like you're being told like, yeah, you need to escape now, but you end up blowing up everything and obviously scratching every corner to get every missile pack, energy tank. If you've played Super Metroid or any of the 2D, you know what the general game flow is.
Yeah, and that's mostly the same here with the added chase escape sequences, I guess.
Yeah.
Evasion sequences? And...
Yeah, every so often the flow is, the pacing is changed where you enter these sections of there aren't any, like, pickups to get, but instead an unkillable death bot that we mentioned before called the Emmy, E-M-M-I, who wants to get... for whatever reason, capture you and stick a needle in your neck, which is fatal. And for the most part, you cannot fight them, slow them down or anything. It's just evasion, hide, run real fast. And it's a pretty good pace breaker, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wasn't bothered too much by them. I did fail a whole bunch of times in a row a lot.
Yes, but the checkpointing in this game is actually really, really forgiving. Like, none of these sections are overly long, and if you die, you always start right in front of them.
Yeah, you start at the Emmy door, which is actually nicer checkpointing than anything else in this game other than bosses. Like, dying to a regular enemy or to, like, lava sucks in this game. You go back to save. But if you die at a boss, you just appear right before the boss.
I wouldn't know.
Wow. Somebody's not trying to sequence break hard enough if they never died to lava.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one instance and I'm like, I bet I could do it, and I barely didn't. But, you know, outside of that, like, I took this game pretty much, I was critical path until it became abundantly clear, like, oh, here's the final area, you got the final ability. I'm like, sick. Time to scour everything I missed, and I had a blast.
I did a fair amount of scouring as it went. I went through the teleportals pretty early on, which let me get the scan pretty early on.
The scan being the it's one of your Aeon abilities that just kind of you ping around the room, and it just tells you which blocks can blow up.
Oh yeah, Aeon. They kind of just dropped that in the. That I know of, that's not from any of the previous games, right?
No, it's not. In any other game, it's not really explained. It's just called, you have an Aeon ability. You get the item cube that gives you your first one. And it doesn't even try to justify it through like, oh, this planet has special like science going on or whatever. It's just, oh, you got this now.
Yeah.
We gave it a name and that's about it.
Okay. I guess. I don't know. It has a meter, and that meter goes up pretty quickly when you're not using an ability.
And the meter, like, almost may as well not exist.
For the cloaking.
I guess, yeah, it matters for the cloaking, but it only matters for the cloaking.
Yeah.
So you may as well have given the cloak. And when you leave cloaking, you can't do it again until the meter fills up again. So they really might as well have just given that ability a timer. and everything else is just use a charge or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The cloaking also lets you use your health energy when you go over.
Yeah, when you run out. But honestly, you don't need to use the cloaking all that much. When you're in the enemy sections and you're trying to avoid them, being invisible is helpful, but it also drastically reduces your movement. And I've found that generally it was a lot easier to just book it.
Yeah, I probably didn't turn it off enough, because I frequently just tried to run most of the ME section cloaked and then run out of energy near the end and then Matt scrambled to the door.
Yeah, I always just preferred being in a mad scramble, but occasionally it's just the thing's in front of you and it kind of already detected you and you can just kind of tuck into a little alcove that it can't get you at. As long as you're not visible, you're fine, but...
Yeah. The one thing about the Emmy is that I kind of wish that they didn't give you the option of the melee to get out of it, because I just felt bad about messing it up so many times.
Yeah. You're not so... Like, if you get caught by one, technically, if you have just the most crackerjack timing on your parry button, you can escape, but... I did it maybe once out of 100 times. And yeah, it was kind of a feels bad of like, am I expected to? The computer told me I have a 99% chance of failing. So maybe he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think I got it all of once or twice over the entire course of the game.
If I didn't get it that once, I would have thought I would have actually stopped trying at a certain point just because I'm like, oh, this clearly is just impossible.
Yeah.
Or not actually a thing.
Yeah. I got a little annoyed at that just taking a bunch of time after I got caught. I was like, no, I just want to get back into it. I just want to retry
this. It's like a couple extra seconds.
It matters. And a loading screen.
Well, I mean, you're getting that loading screen anyway.
I guess. They could have been loading while that animation was playing?
Maybe they were.
That's true.
I don't know. But yeah, I guess it does add up if you're getting hit a lot. Like, excellent checkpointing for the spots that actually matter. Like, bosses and ME sections, you will die. This is a game that is not afraid to kill you, even when you've gotten all of the health packs.
Yeah, even at 100% completion, the last boss was still somewhat challenging.
Yeah, if you're getting hit, he's still taking like over an entire E-tank.
Yeah.
For certain moves and otherwise, yeah. But the bosses in this game are pretty heavily pattern based as per usual. I thought the first boss was actually really good.
Yeah.
For teaching a lot of different concepts at the same time.
Yeah, Samus is a lot more nimble in this one than she normally is.
So fast, so much faster, especially if you're coming off of Super directly.
Yeah, which I think is pretty important to the bosses being the, like, hitting like trucks, but expecting you to be able to dodge.
Yeah, it's the difference between being able to dodge and just being a tank. It's more engaging to avoid things, generally speaking.
Yeah, and... there's a forward dash in this one, which means I like it.
It means you like it.
We've established the rule of Metroidvania like combat.
It's got a combat role of sorts, although it doesn't have iframes.
That's true.
But it does go very fast.
Yes, and you can chain it together for three at a time.
Yeah,
that's the phase shift, of course.
It's the phase shift, one of the three Aeon abilities. Yeah, phase shift is great. It like kind of... allows you to just move very fast in a pinch, which for a lot of the fights, like as long as you're not moving into them, is effectively a combat roll. But yeah, you've got that. You've got your melee attack, which is also a parry for against other enemy melee attacks, which is how you deal with a lot of just the fodder enemies between areas.
Especially the flying ones.
All the flying ones are way easier dealt with if you just wait for them to charge at you. Parry, bop, and you also get more loot from them when you do it.
Yeah.
So you're really incentivized to do so.
Yeah. I didn't mind the melee parry. I will say it got annoying on some of the bosses where it was mandatory to do it to end the fight.
Yes. Mostly just the Chozo type enemies.
Yeah, which also got used a lot at some point. I don't know.
They threw a bunch in a row with only minor differences to their attack pattern by the end.
Yeah.
But also at that point, you're also getting different weaponry to try out a little bit. But for the most part, you fought them all basically the same.
Yeah, because there's the regular spear soldier, there's the spear soldier with shield, there's the ex-parasited
like
soldier.
Gold spear soldier.
Was that one even any different from the other one?
I believe no. Oh, it made you grapple the shield instead of just bopping it off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, bopping it off?
Yeah, the red ones with the shield, if you just parry their shield bash, you destroy it.
Oh, I just shot them when the shield wasn't in front of them.
That's also a move you can do. I was doing that until they did the shield move, and I just reacted.
Okay.
It's, you know, there's actually kind of a lot of things you can do. Like, I think every button does something. Several buttons do more than they should. I definitely am not a huge fan of the click in the left stick to activate speed boost.
Yeah, that one was the... Are you allowed to then unclick it? Because I never did.
While you're running, just click it once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't have to hold.
I was holding it in, which also was awkward when you're trying to click it to hold it in, and then also press down to store your shine spark.
Yeah, it's... No, you don't have to. Why?
I don't know.
First honking, and now this. You're just making so many things so much harder for you.
I don't know why I did this with the free aim, but at the start with the free aim, I was trying to, like, rather than point at where I wanted it to aim to, I was trying to, like, nudge it up or down by pressing up or down.
No.
And I feel like that's a really, like, old Metroid, like, you hit the aim button and then you get a choice of diagonal up or diagonal down.
No.
I don't know. It was...
No, it plants you in place so that you can just hold the direction you need.
Yeah, it was weird that I was doing that, and it was like, oh wait, no, I just pointed at what I want, not do this weird waggling.
Oh, I love this insight into why your brain is broken in the way it is.
I don't know why.
Why you do things. Why you do this.
I don't know. But speaking of the speed booster, there's a lot of speed booster use in this. None of it's... there's very little of it that's actually mandatory.
Yeah, none of it on the critical path other than maybe do a shine spark, but they tell you how to do it anyway. But there's a lot of, like, side mechanics involved with it that are you need to learn or have read about in order to get 100% completion. In particular, being able to wall jump while speed boosting to completely reverse direction is a thing that I don't think they spell out.
They definitely don't make it clear.
They don't make it clear in the text.
Yeah.
But part of why I enjoyed 100%ing this game by the end was you'd run into sections where, like, I know I don't have anything more to get, but I need to somehow hit these blocks with a speed booster. And it was like a puzzle of, okay, so, like, how do I do that and what needs to be true in order to get there? And so you just start to experiment, and I found that quite rewarding.
Yeah, you can also slide while speed boosting and maintain the speed boost on the other side of the slide, which was useful in a couple of them.
Yeah, if you dash into an incline, you go back, if you shine spark into an incline, you go back to boosting, so you can carry that further and reset the shine spark timing.
Yeah, which was necessary in a couple of them too.
Yeah. Like, I think that's, like, the main part, because outside of that, by the end game, everything was kind of also just solved by powerbomb.
Yeah. My pet peeve on that, I guess, was, and maybe this is just me being really bad at things, I was really bad at midair shine sparking. I think the problem turned out to be you have to not be spinning.
I think you have to not be spinning, or you need to press the jump button with the control stick neutral.
Yeah, I think I was... until you can press Y and shoot, and that will take you out of the spin, I think, is how that ends up working.
Yeah, there's something you can do to stop your spin regardless.
I don't know, I wasn't doing very well at it. Mm. And it took me a while to figure out what I was doing wrong there. Yeah. So this is just kind of a thing for me in general. I find the Metroid series' distinction between the spin jump and a non-spin jump, the upright jump,
yep,
just kind of weird in general, and I don't know why they've held on to it.
It's less pronounced here because you can transition from one to the other, you can only do your multiple space jump, double jump while you're in the spin one.
Yeah.
And but I think in older games, just jumping straight up without twirling went higher.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm pretty sure in Super that's true, but was never relevant. Like almost always, you may as well just be doing the forward somersault. But yeah, in this game, it's almost irrelevant why it would be different. I don't know. It's just a weird quirk for whatever reason. Whenever you have forward momentum, you got to be twirling.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird because they do key things off of it, right? Like you get the spin boost, which I keep thinking is some kind of twist on the speed booster.
Yeah, but it was just, okay, that's, yes, the spin boost, which is just a double jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But only if you're doing the spin jump, not that other jump.
Yeah. That's a weird one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not only, you don't, outside of the Prime series, you don't really get a double jump. You either have one or infinity with space jump. And in this one, they decided to very briefly give you a double jump, which lasts all of 10 minutes before you get space jump, almost immediately afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they just wanted something, a slight increment.
I guess maybe they wanted to do something more with it and then just had to shrink that part of the game down. I don't know.
Yeah.
They just, because there's not a whole lot you can do with it when after you've already gotten the means to, if you know what you're doing, game doesn't tell you, but you can infinitely bomb jump. So that's basically infinite height right there if you're not in water without the gravity suit. But yeah, and then almost immediately get space jump screw attack, which is a very powerful attack. Just while you're jumping, just constantly, haha, Samus go burr.
Yeah, actually, one of the interesting things that this did is held off on the morph ball for a pretty long time.
Yeah.
You could slide under things, so it's some of the places where the morph ball would have been useful, I guess, were taken by the slide. But
yeah, but you'd see parts of that you theoretically could get through, but because they're just off the ground by a tile, you can't slide in. So okay, note that for later. And yeah, morph ball was a not a late game thing, but late for it in the series.
Yeah, normally it's the first power
if you don't start with it by default.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, I can see bombs being later, but those were actually not immediate after getting Morph Ball.
Yeah. It was interesting. I mean, I kind of enjoyed that.
Me too. I think sticking in Samus' normal form is funner and is also faster. And Morph Ball in this game is kind of slow.
Yeah.
But because you don't need to be in it outside of tight quarters, it works for pacing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it is kind of funny that it's slow considering how nimble she is otherwise.
It's usually, in the Prime games, being in Morph Ball is faster than just walking, and you just have to balance that out with having to open doors.
Yeah, clearly we need the boost ball in the non-Prime games.
It's so much harder to do a half pipe in 2D is the thing.
That's fair. I don't think we need a...
I mean, at that point, it's just Sonic the Hedgehog. Which, although, they both do have pinball spinoffs, and we're just right off of Yoku's.
Sonic Metroidvania?
Did they do that already? I don't think so.
They're usually pretty strongly level-based.
They're pretty strongly level-based.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not yet, at least. Give it time. Oh, man.
Oh, God. Okay, where did we...
Oh, we're just talking about progression items.
Yeah.
I thought Grapple Beam didn't need to be its own button.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, I would have been fine with maybe just like a toggle, because you don't generally need to do it mid-combat outside of a few choice encounters. But they took the spider ball functionality and just applied it to, oh, these are just separate things you can grapple onto like at any point.
Yeah.
Or just like, yeah, grab on and hold yourself. Or once you get the grapple beam, you can pull yourself there.
Yeah, which was a pretty fun thing in some of the ME stuff. If you're like, oh, there's a grapple up there, I can just swing up there. Especially the one that had a lot of water, I feel like I ended up doing that a lot.
I think you needed to if you got down to the water, because at that point you can't really jump out. So you needed to pull yourself out. And it was convenient to move slightly faster, like especially upward, while also being cloaked.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Emmy, how did you feel about taking the Emmy down? So I guess going back a little.
Yeah.
So each Emmy encounter basically goes the same way. You encounter the Emmy, it chases you. You maybe weave in and out of its zone a little bit.
They have distinct zones that they operate within. And occasionally the critical path will take you in, go somewhere else, enter in through a different area, back in, back out.
Yeah.
Occasionally you'll go to a whole separate zone before coming back with the thing you need to get to the place to stop the Emmy.
Yeah. And then at the place to stop the Emmy is, I forget what it actually refers to it as, central
control unit. Something like that. It's a big brain in a box.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
And it's really, it doesn't take too long, but it is six times of the same thing of fire at the brain box until its shell comes off, and then you fire at the brain until it dies.
Yeah, meanwhile you're doing the mother brain reference with the Cheerios and the lasers.
You got to avoid the SpaghettiOs and laser shots, but they don't really do anything beyond.
Yeah, it's like, so does the Federation just have like mother brain reproduction tech and they're using it to run these Emmys?
And I don't think it's Federation. It's that Chozo race, the Maw-kin.
Well, so are these things inherent to the Emmys?
I don't think that's clear, because yeah, like they're clearly part of that control section, but like, what you're getting from the brain, you're just getting a super powerful beam that can destroy the Emmys. It's not like you're getting control of them from the brain.
Yeah, and it's not like the Emmy is now not functioning.
Yeah.
Now that you've destroyed it. I don't know, you get the Omega Cannon.
Very briefly, you get until you get it to defeat the Emmy, and you can't escape until you defeat the Emmys. And then once you've defeated the Emmy, it just goes, oh, it's offline now again. Gotta find a new one.
Yeah, which defeating the Emmy was mostly lure it into a long corridor, point at it with the rapid fire, the hyper, I've already forgotten what it was.
It's the Omega Stream?
Omega Stream.
Yeah.
To knock its faceplate off.
And then you charge up the super cannon to fire at its face, and then it dies.
Yeah. Which, like, I was a little underwhelmed by that. I kind of wish they had taken the opportunity to have a more interesting fight with the Emmys.
Yeah.
Once you had gotten
further in the game.
Something. Yeah. Like,
you're getting more and more powerful. You're getting a like beam upgrade after missile upgrade after everything. None of that matters for the Emmys.
Yeah.
At any point.
But like, I can't help but feel like it would have been nice if something like, you are now like a predator at equal power level to them or something, but each of you is still basically, it's now fragile as well as you, right? And so now you're sort of playing who can ambush the other one first or something like that.
Something like that. Even just like a proper boss fight that's not...
Yeah.
Do the one thing that kills it.
Yeah, or you start chasing it to hunt it down and kill it. I don't know.
It'd be an interesting take. Does feel like the same thing six times.
Yeah.
Trying to invert the hunt, like the whole motif of hunter and hunted has been part of the Metroid series since its inception. I think even the old lore defined, I think Metroid is like hunter in Chozo. And that's how they're like, Chozo developed them in that way. But yeah, like they do a little bit of like changing the environment in which you fight, like destroy the Emmy. So you have to, like, it's luring it to the right place is the only real change.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's the same. So it's a little disappointing ending them. Not too bad, but disappointing.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's ones that can stun you at a distance. And I was like, oh, this should be a challenge for taking them down once I have the Omega Cannon.
They don't use the thing that stuns you at a distance.
Yeah, no, they stopped using it. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe that makes sense, because it would be a whole thing to then set up a situation where you could get the hits on them.
Yeah, like if they didn't just do the same Omega Cannon stream bop thing again, they could do something interesting with that, but instead they just need to be like, Emmy conveniently forgot they could do that for this one.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I think the bosses were quite good, almost across the board.
Yeah, they're pretty solid.
The first one I was kind of mentioned earlier kind of like teaches you a lot of things about using environment to avoid certain attacks. Certain times, like when you're fighting, you'll enter like a cutscene mode, but you can keep firing during that. Like, it's almost like a reward for parrying a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Which, as long as you're mashing well, it's fine. But, you know, ultimately it just ends up being extra damage. But it looks cooler than if it was just a cutscene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me think too much of QTEs, which I was not super fond of, QTEs being quick time events.
Yeah.
Famously originated by Shenmue.
Shenmue, the first free game.
Yeah.
Full reactive eyes entertainment.
Oh, jeez. It kind of gave me a bit of a, like, God of War feel. I don't know, God of War did the QTEs for, like, a takedown pretty heavily.
They did, yes. And I guess I just don't mind that sort of thing, especially when it's not so strict on it. Like, certain bosses, you need it to do it to take them down regardless, just to end the fight. But usually that's just hitting the melee twice. That's fine. If you want to get your bonus damage in, it's just, you can fire as much or as little as you want.
The one that really bothered me was the final boss, who phase one can be damaged well, but only with missiles, I think?
Yeah, missiles until the shield thing goes down, at which point you can probably... The rapid fire beam seems to be the best. Don't quote me on that.
And then he puts on an orange shield, which is totally different from the red shield he had before. Have I mentioned I'm colorblind?
Yeah, and yet you're the one who realized you weren't dealing damage this time around.
Well, things go plink-plink instead of...
I don't know. I was just constantly spamming storm missiles, and I just didn't realize.
Anyway, you can't actually progress anything in the fight until he decides to taunt you, at which point you get a two parry QTE, and then you can go back to hurting him. Actually, I had to do those twice, and I'm not sure if I was doing something wrong there. Maybe I wasn't mashing enough to deal enough damage to push him into phase two.
Every time he started taunting, I'd do it once, and then it's immediately into phase two.
Oh, it was always twice for me, so maybe
I feel
managed
like
to not be dealing maximal damage.
Because I did have to do that fight 20 times, so maybe I'm just...
My annoyance was there was a couple times in that fight where I feel like I spent a good 5 minutes waiting for him to taunt. And then accidentally missing the melee attack was just really annoying. It was like, oh, God, no, I have to wait for him to taunt again.
I'm sorry. I don't know what it is and why I particularly just didn't notice that I couldn't damage him, but it felt like I was fighting him the entire time until he taunted.
I mean, the rest of that fight was fun, and dodging in that sequence was fun. It just got...
I really liked the second phase when he started flying.
Yeah. That was also pretty good.
Yeah. Because you have to keep dodging in different ways and all the different ways you've learned over the game.
Yeah. One thing I never tried was using cloaking on the bosses. He has a tracking attack. Does that tracking attack keep tracking you if you cloak?
I don't know.
Apparently.
When he shoots the giant sun into the sky, apparently you can powerbomb that.
Yep, I did not figure that out playing. I found it out while reading Reddit later.
Yeah. That was it's an attack that keeps firing while he's doing the rest of his normal stuff. and it's very hard to be dodging both of them. It turns out you can just spend a power bomb to not deal with it. Oh well.
Oh well. No, I can't use any of these 20 power bombs. They're too awesome to use.
It's the last thing you get. It's wild, but yeah, it's still fully beatable. And after that, you get your little escape sequence ending. It's a classic staple of the franchise.
Yeah. I mean, we could also talk about that thing. I don't know. We're not very big on not spoiling things.
We've like not even put up spoiler warnings at this point. It's just the full game on display here, apparently. But yeah.
Yeah.
So Samus is a Metroid now.
Yeah. So it turns out the entire game was him posing as Adam to manipulate you into getting stronger and struggling enough to
and angrier
activate your latent Metroid DNA.
Yeah, which
him being Ravenbeak, I suppose,
the Chozo guy. His name's Ravenbeak. He's of the Mawkin tribe of the bird Chozo people,
which in hindsight was probably should have been pretty obvious when he stopped calling you lady after the very first time Adam says anything to you.
Yeah, but on the other side, that whole lady plot point is dumb. And I don't really think about it as much as I can.
Fair. I mean, oh god, Other M.
Yeah, see, the thing is, it makes me think of Other M, and I can't have that in my life.
Adam was a much better concept in Fusion than in Other M.
And that's why this is Metroid 5, after Fusion, which was Metroid 4, and that's all we need to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's manipulating you into activating your Metroid DNA. This is
some Kojima levels of understanding how genetics works.
Yeah, you have like 5 different species in you at this point.
Yep.
Presumably you have some human.
Some human somewhere. Definitely Chozo, because that's how you can use your power suit. This is canon. I've read the manga.
Which apparently they're counting the 2 Chozo tribes that they talked about as different Chozo.
The 2 different tribes is, as far as I'm aware, a new thing.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, like, in every game, you're going to planets with Chozo ruins already there, so there's been... Well, there's probably a whole bunch of different tribes everywhere. Who knows? They can just invent a new one whenever they need. But, yeah, you've also got Metroid in you from Fusion, which is after you got infected by the X-parasites, so you probably have some X lingering around you. You certainly eat enough of them.
I don't think that's how gaining the DNA works, but
you don't
okay.
You don't know how Metroids work. they eat the whole plate.
They do eat the whole plate. Actually, they tend to leave the flesh behind and just kind of let it dissolve into dust.
That's true. Yeah.
Not a big thing that Samus does. But...
Not yet, but she starts getting a little bit more Metroid-y by the end after almost dying to an Emmy. I think it is. Like, she does the thing, except it's not quite dead, and then she needs to, like, her one hand suddenly becomes, like, vampire touch, and she starts eating that, and then she eats this Chozo warrior also, and she gets really mad.
Oh, yeah, it's because you knock down the Emmy and then immediately get attacked by a Chozo warrior?
I think that's the case, yeah.
And then in the QTE...
Instead of what she usually does, which is slam him down, pop his mouth open, and fire in, she just does the slam down, and that hand starts just eating or absorbing the energy.
Yeah.
And she looks crazy. And it's implied, like, oh, this seems kind of messed up.
Yeah. It is pretty brutal to then, like, suck all the energy out, leave just the X-parasite, and just crush it in her hand.
Kind of hardcore. More than we've seen from her in previous games.
Yeah, it's almost kind of body horror-esque in that, like, there's somewhat her, like, dread of what she's becoming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, she who fights monsters kind of thing. Obviously, we don't spend a whole lot of time lingering on that because it's, like, the very end of a game that's already fairly light on story.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turns out Ravenbeak is just using you to essentially revive the Metroids because you did a good job at genocide earlier.
Yeah, and he wants to clone you.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you did beat all the Metroids. You got to be like the hierarchy, the ranking system puts you at the top.
Yeah.
And that's also why the Emmys were after you because they're going to put their needle in you to get the Metroid DNA. Raven B could hack them, but like obviously it's more useful if you're fully activated and super powerful, and
yeah,
also you can just make clones apparently.
So Samus goes Metroid-y, which involves like her suit being made over to become part of her. I mean, it's always been sort of part of her.
Kind of.
Fusion especially,
but this one, yeah, it gets kind of bulky, green, and a lot more organic.
Yeah.
It looks kind of messed up and kind of ugly, but...
A little bit.
It's supposed to be, but yeah, and you get turbocharged. It's much like the end of Super. You suddenly get this huge hyper beam, and you are now tasked with... leaving the planet before it explodes. I'm not sure if it's explained why the self-destruct activated.
You know, it's unclear, but that was what Samus was trying to do there.
Yeah, but just, I don't think it showed like any sort of direct action. It was just you finally like lasered down Raven Beak in his final, almost like Kraid like.
Yeah, that like. X-parasite fusion
of him and like all the different monsters that you've been fighting. You laser that down, and then a timer starts, like, okay, I guess this place is exploding, and you just have the biggest beam as you clear away all the enemies and the debris. It you feel so powerful, but you're also like, I'm kind of messed up, and you get to your ship and you can't, like, what is it? Because you can't touch your ship without absorbing all of its energy.
Yeah, apparently you can't use your hands anymore.
You just can't turn it off. And then the ex-parasitic clone of this friendly Chozo you'd met earlier pops in. Then the then it kind of dissolves into just the blob of the ex-parasite, which goes into you. And then your suit disappears and you're back to normal. And then you get out of there.
Yeah,
no explanation.
And also, I saw some confusion. Was that him saying, don't do it? You'll just destroy the ship? Or was that supposed to be Adam?
I think that was Adam.
Okay.
Who I think throughout all this still was aware of what y'all were doing. But it's not like, I could be convinced. But yeah, that's how it ends. And then it just shows your completion time and a splash screen of a previous Metroid game if you did it fast. But yeah, it does not want to explain itself. Watch out for Metroid 6 in another 8-10 years.
Yeah, I don't quite know what was going on there at the end, but also, like, I kind of thought the ex-parasites weren't that smart.
Yeah. There's a lot implied, and maybe if I was paying more attention, like, this also isn't a game that has lore or logbook entries to really read through, so, I mean, I think there'd need to be a YouTube explainer.
Yeah.
Vati video, where are you? But... as far as I'm aware, it's just kind of a sequel hook. We'll explain it later.
Yeah, I guess so.
It just really didn't make any sort of sense. It is kind of as abrupt as I described it there.
Yeah. I mean, it was a cool sequence with the Metroidification of the suit.
Yeah, I wish there was more of that. Or, like, if there was an optional New Game Plus.
Just run around with the Hyper Beam.
Let me play. Let me play around. Come on, guys.
I just want to shoot things with this hyper beam.
But yeah, and out of curiosity, I mean, I already know the answer, but what was your completion time?
My completion time was pretty long, like 13 hours, 45 or something like that.
Yeah, I had 8.5, but I feel like we weren't that different in our progression from when we were like just messaging back and forth.
I don't know.
Because that's 5 hours difference. And I don't think it counts, like, reload, so even, like, struggling on a boss or anything, which I don't think either of us really did.
I don't know. Yeah.
Did you leave the game on?
I didn't think so, but... I don't know. I didn't do very efficiently on the backtracking, because I kept trying to get into the teleportals the moment that I thought I had the abilities to do them. when you get to the storm missile door that you have to enter, I made the mistake of not scanning, and like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to go somewhere and get the storm missiles from there. And went through the entire rest of the game being like, oh, that's a lot of unlocks, but where was the storm missile? Only to find out, oh, I was just supposed to shoot the ground. Whoops.
Whoops. Yeah, I think the only time I got lost was getting space jump. Outside of that, I was critical path all the way through. Like, I just don't understand. But that is something to mention, is that this is not a long game. Like, both of us did 100% complete this game, and even then, like, you're thinking at looking at max 14-15 hours.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, it was enjoyable. I feel like it was a good length for what it is.
Yes, I think it's mostly if you're really concerned with getting the most like time as a purchasing decision, if you're only going to get one game in like a month, having one that you can beat in a weekend, it's really just down to preference. But I do think for this style of game, it needs to be tight, needs to be paced really well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the contrast for that is Hollow Knight, which is like a 40-hour game or whatever.
Yeah, Hollow Knight, I liked its length, but I've definitely heard of people who were just like kind of wanted to be done 10 hours before it was done. I think the most egregious offender is a game called Okami, which had like three or four different endings and like, yeah, we're good. No. Okay.
Yeah. Okami's pacing was not good.
No,
but
no matter how much you like that Zelda style, calligraphy dog, it's just, you just want to move on with your life at a certain point.
Yeah. I don't know. This released this year, which makes it a little weird for my games that released in the same year.
We're not done yet. It is October as of recording, so there's still time to get like really good hot releases out before Christmas. But mostly it's no one's really took the time to make like awards or like compile any lists of notable games.
There is a Japanese Game Awards, which strangely only seems to have three awards on it, and two of them are Game of the Year, so I don't understand how this makes sense.
Like, Game of the Fiscal Year?
Alright, so the award-winning games from the 25th Japan Game Awards are Ghost of Tsushima and Monster Hunter Rise, and Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. Which is that, the real world carts that you...
Yeah, you have, like, an actual cart you put in your living room, and who has the living room space for that? And the lag on the actual... I've seen it. It's, the live circuit Mario Kart game is such a janky mistake that I kind of love that it exists, but keep it away from me.
Apparently it won an award at the Japan Game Awards.
What award?
Game direction.
Okay.
I guess I do have a list of other Metroidvanias in 2021, none of which I've played.
Of course not.
Ender Lilies.
I've heard about that one.
Fist, Forged in Shadow Torch.
That, are you sure that's not a fighting game?
I'm pretty
80s.
Sure. But yeah, it does sound like it should be. Fighting game from the 80s. Greek Memories of Azure.
Oh.
That one's puzzly. I don't know if it technically counts as a Metroidvania, but...
Like, what technically counts is not...
I'm not that interested in that.
One person somewhere needs to think, this is like Metroid for it to count at this point.
Grime, Lamp Chronicle, Lost Ruins,
no.
Metal Unit.
Not Metal Unit. That sounds pretty generic.
I'm gonna mess this up. Phonotopia Awakening.
Okay.
And Record of Lodoss War, Deedlit in Wonder Labyrinth.
That one, I've heard of that one. Based off of like a really old manga/anime series.
Yeah.
And they just out of nowhere, it's the people who did the Toho Metroidvania Luna Knights.
Yeah. And maybe Silksong will come out this year. Or maybe not. I don't know. It's already October.
I'm certainly not holding my breath. But yeah, you know, it's nice to find, like, I would have liked to have seen in this game, like, more nods to, like, what the indie scene has done to the genre. This is very much, like, sticking to the history of Metroid.
I guess. I don't know. What would a nod to the indie scene look like?
It's more like, this does seem like Super Metroid again. Better, with some, like, you know, things that they added to Samus Returns.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, I'm not sure what I would want to see, but it's just like, or even it would be better that way. But this one is like, okay, I guess it's Metroid again.
Yeah.
Better, and it's faster. And for me, at least, that was good enough.
Which reminds me, there was one annoyance I had, in that it liked to close paths behind you.
Yes. I mean, that's been a classic in smaller chunks in the series.
Yeah.
It would definitely be like, put you in a room after it gives you something to make sure you can use that thing to get out, but it usually be contained to one room.
Yeah, this I feel like it did a fair amount of, like, oh, we're just going to close off your access to the beginning of the game for a while.
And when you get back to the beginning of the game, it did do a thing where it froze the whole place.
That's fair.
Which did change, like, how you, like, navigated it for a while, which is always the thing I like to see, is changing or older areas, defamiliarizing, and really making a bit more use out of level design you've already made.
Yeah, suddenly those puddles, which seemed kind of random, are actually important.
Yep.
Puddles, puzzles.
Puddle puzzles.
Yes.
Yeah, that's always a cool thing, or like certain, like, set piece moments, like when you get, just before you, I think you get the Varius suit, you have like that big long shaft you got to escape as it kind of collapses around you and things start getting heating up.
Oh, yeah.
And then after you're done, like, that whole place is just all always on fire. But thankfully you got the Varius suit now.
Yeah. And they kind of block that. They block under the teleportal so that you have to come back the other way.
Yeah.
To unreblock
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little annoying.
A little annoying, but it didn't really affect me much, because by the time I, like, needed to get back there, I just go that one way.
Yeah, that shaft was a place I kept expecting to need to shine spark back up, and then no, it turns out, oh, I mean, I guess you probably could find a way to shine spark back up.
But there's no blocks that would make it, like, go all the way.
Yeah.
So it would be pointless, but maybe you could just speed boost. Do some cracker jack, wall jump, slide back forth.
Yeah. So, I mean, I only ended up re-exploring that once I got the space jump.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the more annoying of the speed boost things, where you had to, in at least, figure out how to get past the floor sensor.
Oh.
With either the speed boost or the shine spark still going by phase shifting.
Oh, okay, yeah. I only vaguely remember this. Maybe I did it a different way. Who can say?
Maybe. It was kind of nice that there were a couple different ways you could do a bunch of them.
Yeah. Like, the way you can charge and, like, keep hold of the shine spark allowed for, you know, ways that were easier rather than harder. Yeah. Certain game facts certainly recommended harder variants. Like, instead of sliding, doing a crazy, okay, do the cross bomb, which propels you forward, and you'll have just enough time to make it.
Yeah, you know, I never tried to use the cross bomb in any combat scenario.
Me neither.
I mean, I guess it's like, morph ball bombs are generally not useful.
No.
So
already I wasn't using I used cross bombs exactly as many times I used regular bombs.
Yeah, I don't know. The cross bombs I felt was a little underwhelming.
Yeah, it's also one of those things where it's like a really late game item that you don't get to really play with too much before you just get power bombs.
Yeah. I mean, it had its niche use of, hey, we can put these crumbling blocks and you can cross bomb across them, but
yeah. It's just like that. That's kind of the only thing they had. And it's technically more efficient to clear out some of the other destructible walls instead of bomb. reset, go back in, bomb. You just crossbomb to take them all out at once. You know.
All right. I think we've said pretty much everything we had to say about Metroid Dread.
It's a very good game. The bosses are fun. You are a fairly agile Samus, and you can make use of all of the tools available to you. It's not a very long game, but it's a very tightly paced game.
Yeah.
I think it is fantastic.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good. Where are you going to put it on your stack rank?
I think I'm going to put it just under Hollow Knight.
Okay, that makes it the new number 3 unseating Iconoclasts.
That seems fair. As much as I do like Iconoclasts, this one is just a blast to play the whole way through, I guess. It embodies what I like about Metroidvanias better, and even though I think Iconoclasts does something very narratively interesting, it, you know, I don't need to rag on Iconoclasts. They're both good. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I don't need to justify myself to you or anybody. I have Metroid Prime at the top, and I know that's a mistake.
So, for me...
Yes.
I think it's... For me, do I put it in the number 2 slot?
Ooh.
Which is currently occupied by Symphony of the Night, or the number 3 slot?
Do you think this is better, or at the very least, do you like it more? For any reason?
It's an interesting question. I think I do like it a little more, but like the reasons for it are not like that important. It's like, oh, it was really smooth to control.
Yeah.
And, like, I enjoyed the nimble boss fights. Like, this is a thing for me. Is like, I
any game with a dash.
Yeah,
which yeah, Symphony does have, but it's not a good one.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put it in number 2.
Do it.
Yeah. All right.
Hell yeah.
So I think we're just about wrapped up here, but yeah. Eric,
yes,
what are we going to play next? Because it's your turn to choose.
So, I mean, we did just play an official, like, we played Metroid, and we did play Castle Symphony of the Night, but it's recently come to my attention that you've not played any of the GBA or DS iterations.
Played Circle of the Moon.
And that's not the one we want. The one we want is Aria of Sorrow.
Aria of Sorrow, huh?
Yeah, I think it's it's time to go back to a more RPG focused, the Castlevania style. Just to remember what it's like. I mean, you just shafted Symphony of the Night right there. You've clearly forgotten your ways. I was flipping between that or an indie one, but I think I'll save that one for later. I just kind of want to play Aria again. I'm going to be honest.
Fair.
It's certainly my favorite of the Castlevania series. So we'll see how it turns out.
All right.
And probably not going to 100% that game just because of the mechanics, but we'll get into that later.
Oh, is this one of the ones with the cards or the souls?
It's the souls. It's the souls with a percent drop.
No. And they count for percentage?
I mean, it's a thing you can get in the game. If there's a compendium you can fill.
That's fair. Yeah.
Probably not, but we'll see.
Probably not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, till next time, we've been the Inverted Castle. Send any questions, comments, or concerns to invertedcastlepodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Facebook or on Twitter @InvertedCastleP. I remembered our sign-offs this time.
It's so annoying that we had to put a P on it, because it's not long enough to put pod or podcast, but Inverted Castle was taken.
Oh, we'll never forget to put a P on it. A, that'll be our catchphrase. A, P on it.
Let's not make that our catchphrase.
Oh, man. Yeah, the idea of that is filling me with a sense of dread.
Oh, that's a wrap.